Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 90, Mastering Entrepreneurial Problem Solving with Chris H. Davenport II. Leveraging systems thinking, root cause analysis, and leadership clarity to tackle business challenges and unlock sustainable success. What this episode will do for you is help you understand systems thinking and leadership, adopting a systems level perspective that can help leaders address root causes and prevent recurring issues in their organizations. To help develop a problem solving mindset by discovering Chris's techniques for separating emotion from analysis, enabling calm, objective decision-making under pressure. Help you uncover deeper issues by exploring how tools like mirroring, cognitive behavioral therapy, and the Socratic method help reveal hidden challenges and limiting beliefs. Learn how to empower teams to solve problems by gaining insight into guiding teams to find their own solutions, fostering trust and critical thinking. To shift from symptoms to systems, understand why focusing on the root cause rather than surface-level symptoms leads to more sustainable success, and build strategic habits for leadership with actionable strategies to develop habits that enhance clarity, objectivity, and effective problem-solving. But before we dive into this episode further, let me share the purpose behind Thought Leadership Studio, especially if you're new here. I'm Chris McNeil, developer of The Thought Process of Strategic Thought Leadership and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership, set to release in May 2025. This podcast and the book are designed to challenge conventional thinking about marketing and influence, offering a deeper exploration of ideas that can empower you to create breakthroughs in your own marketing and leadership journey. Strategic thought leadership doesn't lend itself to an elevator pitch because it challenges the dominant marketing model. It shifts the focus from treating prospects as targets to listening deeply to their learning needs and creating empowering content that helps them make better decisions and derive greater value. And also leads them to revere the unique attributes of your offering. And that's why I created this podcast, to offer a space for exploring these transformative ideas and to help you self-select into the opportunities that resonate most with your goals. And a key part of this learning process is providing models of excellence, which is why I interview remarkable individuals who excel in areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. Their stories and strategies serve as powerful examples, offering practical insights you can adapt to elevate your own influence and impact. And if today's episode sparks something in you, if you sense the potential for greater clarity, purpose, or success, I invite you to schedule a free consultation with me. It's an opportunity to explore how strategic thought leadership can amplify your results. You can visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, linked in the description, to access resources like my free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, and additional content designed to support your growth. In this episode, I'm thrilled to welcome Chris H. Davenport II, an expert in entrepreneurial problem solving and systems thinking. And how does the systems view enhance strategic thought leadership? Well, strategic thought leadership leverages systemic insights to inspire transformative solutions in audience and marketplace perception. A leader can study the thinking of a market segment in ways similar to how Chris Davenport studies systemic issues underlying business problems. Now, Chris is a lifelong entrepreneur and EOS, which is Entrepreneurial Operating System, implementer, who scaled the company 3i International by 1,000%. Known for his calm, analytical approach, Chris helps CEOs and business leaders tackle complex challenges by uncovering systemic issues and eliminating limiting beliefs. In this conversation, Chris shares how tools like cognitive behavioral therapy, mirroring, and the Socratic method enable leaders to detach from emotional narratives, see problems clearly, and build sustainable solutions. If you're ready to elevate your leadership by solving problems at their source, this episode offers practical insights and actionable strategies to help you think systemically and lead strategically. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host, Chris McNeil with Thought Leadership Studio, and I'm sitting across Zoom with Chris H. Davenport II, a lifelong entrepreneur and executive coach known for solving complex business challenges. And don't we all have those? Chris launched his entrepreneurial journey in college and later scaled 3i International by 1,000%, earning the nicknames The Wolf and The Cleaner for his problem-solving expertise. As an EOS coach, Chris helps CEOs and business leaders achieve their goals through accountability and strategic guidance. With decades of experience, he empowers leaders to unlock their potential and drive success. So this will be all about unlocking your potential as a listener and driving your success. Looking forward to exploring all this with you. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So to give our listener a little context for where you're coming from, was there a pivotal moment in your life? I know you started the entrepreneurial journey really young, but was there a pivotal moment or event or circumstance or insight that was pivotal to you and that set you on the path that you're on today?
That's a great question. There are probably a few, but to go back to that first one, I would say it was figuring out that I could solve problems at that point in time with technology. And it was just so interesting to me, the things that I could do just on my own, and applying the principles I learned. You know, everybody says those math classes you take and calculus, it's all kind of a waste. But it really enhanced my problem-solving abilities. And I look back on that and appreciate all of those tough math courses that I had to take. And it really transformed the way that my brain worked in seeing a problem, getting to the root of the problem, and solving it so it doesn't come back. And I just did that over and over again, you know, on a micro scale. And I'd have to say that was the pivotal moment for me, is figuring out I could do that.
Awesome. And that's kind of a great entrepreneurial truth, isn't it? When we face a problem, I think it was Peter Drucker that said, when you face a management problem, you don't want to just solve the problem then. You want to solve all future recurrences of the problem.
That's right.
So you've got to look underneath to the roots, not just the tree itself.
Definitely.
Is there an example you can share with the listener of that kind of analysis, what it revealed? I know you want to hide any confidential client info, so keeping this general makes you comfortable.
Well, definitely. I thinking back to a couple of the difficult issues that I solved, probably I'd have to say there was a problem that I was introduced to that it was actually during my journey in 3i International. And it was actually a competitor that reached out to us that they couldn't solve a problem, and it was a problem with technology, and systems were down, and they really couldn't, the company wasn't functioning. There was lawsuits being thrown back and forth, the threat of lawsuits. So the tensions, you could cut the air with a knife, in the room walking into this. But that's where I feel like that I thrive. I thrive on difficult situations, and I think it's part of, growing up. The household I grew up in was tumultuous all the time, and there was tension. So to take a positive from that, I deal with those situations quite well. And what I do is, I think that people get wrapped up in that emotional part of, oh my gosh, what else could go wrong, or what am I going to do? I have no idea. And I step into that problem, and I don't really feel those things at that moment in time. It's like everything goes quiet. So I'd say to the listener, if you can figure out the ability just to put those emotions aside and just read the problem for what it is at face value, and start at the lowest possible place that you can with the problem, even if you think you've addressed those issues, as low as, hey, is it plugged in? And I know that's a huge joke in IT circles. Hey, is it plugged in?
Right.
But I'm serious when I say start there. You would be amazed at what I've seen, and it comes down to a physical layer issue. So what I do is I look at a problem from the basic elements, of whatever the situation is, and I work my way up, and in a very systematic approach from there. And typically I end up getting, so I start, below where the roots are, and I work my way up into the roots and to the tree, and I find the problem that way.
That's a really
And
useful skill set.
yes, it's and that's what I've based my entire professional career on, and in different ways. But this one problem, the systems were down. Everyone thought it was, there was a power surge. Everyone thought that everything was fried. The reality is, it was just, they panicked. They didn't realize that they had to go in and, reattach a volume, like a storage device. And I did that, and everything was immediately accessible. And they'd been down for 2 weeks and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it was a, crazy scenario, but it took minutes to solve that.
Just through the application of grace under pressure.
Yes. And people under pressure, a lot of times they crack, but I think that all of us have this ability if we just pause for a moment and we don't succumb to the emotional components of what's going on. And this is also difficult because you have other parties, and they're trying to take their bag of anxiety and their bag of anger, whatever their emotion is, and they're trying to give it to you, but it's not yours. So you just have to say no. And don't take on that bag, because it's the only thing it's going to do. It's going to slow you down in solving the problem. It's going to encumber you with more, with all of their emotions, plus your emotions, plus the need to solve the problem. You're going to take all of that on. And so your chances are just out the window, at that point.
Well, can we dive a little deeper into that skill set? I think it's extremely valuable, especially given the context of entrepreneurism, because this tendency of entrepreneurs to, have the big dreams, take the big
Yes.
risk, and folk think I've got to focus on the positive, Which there's some truth in that, obviously. You want to frame things positively, but to neglect the problems that will grow over time without being able to take that calm, cool, collected, analytical, look for the most simple path to resolution first without the emotion getting in the way kind of mindset. So to explore that, can you think of one particular time when you did that, and what were you thinking as that problem was brought to you? How did you frame it, or what questions did you ask yourself, or how did you see it to maintain this calm in the midst of turbulence?
What I do, and in these situations where I'm brought in, I ignore the emotion. I ignore that it's happening.
How do you do that?
And I think it honestly, it's from just from an early age of having to ignore those things through my upbringing. But I think that all of us can develop this ability. And there's something called CBT, or it's short for cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay. And I'm not a therapist, so I'm not licensed. But these are tools that I have used to get better at this. And there's something called an automatic thought record. And so all of us want to go, we naturally have pathways in our brain that are built based on our experiences, based on what we've learned, and the people we're around and how they react to situations. We come up with how we handle things on our own. Yeah, it's both good and bad. And sometimes along the way, you pick up some habits where you overreact to certain situations. There's these things called reality distortions and CBT. And one of them is catastrophizing. And I think, Chris, this is the one you're referring to, is where people just think the worst outcome, So when you're walking into something, a lot of times we have, like you're saying, you want to be positive, but a lot of times we walk in with, oh my gosh, this whole thing could burn down. That's catastrophizing. So what you have to do when you walk into a situation, what I do is I assess the evidence to support. If I start to feel that, okay, where's the evidence to support? Do I see something on fire, like physically, or the person or the problem, the pieces of the problem in the room. If they are, then there's something to work with. So I'm thinking, if I'm working to work around thinking the worst, well, I have all of the pieces here in front of me, so it can't be that bad.
If I can
I've got
pause you just
stuff.
for a second, because you said something
Yes.
very, very helpful there. I think what I'm understanding is one of the first things you do is get out of the story that's being told and look, what can I experience directly through my senses? What can I see that's actually going on?
Yes, Chris, that's exactly what I'm trying to articulate. And I think it's you've come up with a simpler way to say it for the listeners. And you kind of take yourself out of that story and look above, almost from a drone perspective, looking down at it. And so you're in a balcony view. You're out of the emotion, you're out of the problem for a moment, but you're looking at it. You're assessing what's there, and then you look for if feelings aren't bad. A lot of these people, they think, oh gosh, I can't feel this way, it's wrong. Well, you feel the way that you feel, but the method I'm talking about is just to correct a distortion. So if you are in a problem and you feel like the world's coming to an end, you need to remove yourself from that for a moment, process your feeling, and then look if there's evidence to support that feeling. And if there's evidence against it, argue for it and argue against it. And then typically your thought or your feeling is going to be vastly different at that point after you take just a moment to do that.
That makes perfect sense. So getting out of the story, trusting your senses directly, analyzing, what I'm getting is analysis of emotion. So you're able to
Yes.
detach from emotion through analyzing it, maybe internally verbalizing it. Here's what I'm feeling, but that's just an emotion. It's not dictating things. And being out of the narrative, seeing things for what they are and what you can experience directly, but then taking that distant perspective.
Yep.
That detached, watching from a distance.
That's key.
Yeah, know a little bit about CBT. It's got a lot of similarities with NLP. I've heard it say that that's the branch of psychology that's closest to neuro-linguistic programming. And we talk a lot about, which I'm very familiar with, we talk a lot about taking what's called the third perspective, the third
Yep.
position, where you're not in the problem. You're watching it from a distance, watching the players without any emotional involvement, and gather more information from there.
You can. Yeah, that's very similar to that. I just think it's a tool that a lot of people, even I know that people know this, but it's underutilized because in the moment, our brains don't just come out and say, "Hey, remember, you have this method that you can use." So you have to form a habit around it when you're solving problems.
Sure, makes sense, and it doesn't, because it's unfamiliar, it may not feel quote natural the first few
Yeah.
times, but
Yes.
it comes. And since you're doing coaching, and bringing these, and I see that maybe more as a consulting piece than a coaching piece in some ways, and being even kind of bringing you in to solve a problem, and because you know that you have the skill set that
Yes.
enables you to do that. And we're breaking that skill set down into separating from the narrative, seeing things for what they are, taking a distant perspective. And once you've gathered this information, what are the next stages from there?
Then I basically take an approach, with the emotion pulled out of it, and just look at the evidence of the problem that's in front of me. So it's, so in the IT space, it's easier to some extent because you're dealing with hardware or software, and it only does it serves a certain function, and it does those functions.
Sure.
And so to break that down, you can get very technical and figure out, what's happening. Now, in the coaching side, you're working with people, and that proves to be a little more difficult, because there's people, they share with you certain pieces of information. And then also, a lot of times people are withholding information. Sometimes they're withholding information that they don't mean to withhold, and so you're dealing with a multifaceted, much more complex than technology. And so in the session room with a team, I'm working to pull things out of people in a way that builds trust and helps them to solve the problem. Because in that room, unlike in technology, in that room, I can't solve their problem for them. I have to teach them how to solve their own problems because, after our session, they go back to their role and I go to meet another client. And so I work to pull out things from them, evidence from them that will help them. And I usually use a Socratic approach. I ask questions that get them thinking. I don't tell, don't teach. Even if I see, a lot of times I'll see the solution that's right there. And this is hard for me sometimes
Good,
because
good.
I care about these people. I want them to do well. But I know if I just give them the answer, it's not going to fix the root of the problem. And so I really work to question them, to show them things, to demonstrate, to do what's called mirroring, reflect back to them what they've said, to make them feel to make them know that someone in the room is listening to them. A lot of times people get stuck in a problem and they want to talk through it and there's nobody listening, and that's another issue. So I work through those things kind of systematically in my head to solve a problem with them, so they can, move on to the next one.
So in that sense, are you solving problems on the human level of self-limiting belief systems, for example?
Yes, I think that's a good way to frame it, and because we all get, even I get in my own way, and I work on this with someone that coaches me, and so I to continue to sharpen my tools that I use to help others. And a lot of times we don't see what's right in front of us, and it's typically the same thing as the previous example. It's an emotion that's in the way, that's preventing us. It's a distortion that's preventing us from seeing the path forward that will get us, to a solve.
Well, that's the human condition to a large
Yes.
extent, isn't it? I can't imagine anybody listening to this who can't find something in their experience to relate to when we've gotten in our own way because of mental habits.
Yes.
So how do you help people unlock these mental habits?
I use, active listening techniques. There's a book called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And he talks about something called mirroring. And that he uses it in a standpoint of negotiating. And you may think for a moment, well, why is Chris talking about negotiating when he's talking about solving problems? A lot of times, solving a problem does require negotiation with yourself. So and with the people I'm coaching, so you I'm using these tactics to, in essence, negotiate with them, so to get them to see the problem in a different framework. Because a lot of times they're focusing on, hey, we don't have enough sales, or we're not making our numbers. That's the problem to them. Just to use an example. And it's you've heard this, everybody says, they want more sales. That's not the real problem. And Chris, I know you know this, but you have to negotiate with that person that sees the problem that way. So maybe a visionary is saying, we're not selling enough, we need to sell more. But the problem is deeper than that. The problem is an issue with a process. The problem could be we're not recruiting for, the right type of people. It could be our scorecard is not measuring the right levers to get us there. It could be, we're spending 1 to 2% of revenue on marketing, which is not nearly enough to grow. So it's always deeper than that. And so it's negotiating with that person or that leader in the room to get them there without just telling them, hey, Chris, you're just not spending enough on marketing. They have to know that and think that themselves to see that problem in order to then start to solve it. So a lot of times they're not even seeing the real problem. And so when you're trying to work on a problem that's not even the real issue at hand, you're going to get nowhere with that.
So for the listener who may be now thinking, yep, this might apply to my situation, what are some specific questions that you might ask to help unfurl these deeper root causes?
I would ask, have you removed yourself out of the situation and really had a look at all of the systems in play in this certain problem? And I would ask, well, was there a time in the past where this did work well? And I would ask them, tell me about that. I would ask, Your competitors are, do you go to trade shows? Do you go to places? What are they doing? And do they seem to have these same problems? I'd start to help them build evidence in their head about, the situation to really see it clearly, instead of just internalizing it as their problem alone and in the way that they see it. Just using the external factors to the benefit to really paint a picture of what is really going on and what is really causing the problem that they're the result is what they're complaining about, but there's a problem that's creating that result that they don't like.
So it's moving from cause and effect to more of a systems view.
Yes. Because they're complaining about the result they're not happy with. Okay, well, what got you there? It's kind of like, well, I didn't get the abs I wanted. I didn't get down to the body fat percentage I wanted. Well, okay, so how many days a week did you spend in the gym over the last year? Well, I went 3 times, it's an easy analogy. You have to you have to look at the data and the data that supports the outcome, And so I'd say that's really important.
Do you find that diving into this, you uncover perhaps stale, outdated thinking that's underneath these systems that created the problematic system?
I think so. And I think what I equate it to is it's a core, it comes down to a core belief that the individual has. And these are difficult to disrupt because they're part of our fabric, part of our being. And getting down to that core belief, sometimes you never really get down that deep, but you get close. And sometimes people believe a certain thing, whether it's, to take sales, they believe that a perfect example is that everyone can sell. If I can do it, they can do it. Everyone should be able to do these certain things. And that's just not true. And so it's disrupting those core beliefs that, hey, you need to attract a certain type of individual with a certain, we use a personality assessment test in EOS a lot. And it tells us how us as individuals act in certain situations, and that disrupts those core beliefs. That starts to disrupt, just a one example, for them to see, for leaders to see that, hey, okay, so we need to be more precise when we're looking for individuals that go into the sales department. And they need to have these certain traits, and not everyone can do it. Not everyone is set up for that. And just knowing that, and just one example.
Well, that's a great example of the value of a coach who's willing to challenge the deep thinking that drives the business decisions. Because if you don't change the deep thinking that's underneath a system, it's just going to recreate itself in a different form, and the problem will show up in a different way, won't it?
That's true, and it does. If you don't deal with that, at a lower level at the root, it's just going to continue to happen. You're going to continue to make bad hires, or if it's, hey, we're not getting enough leads, you're going to continue to not recognize that you have to invest in marketing to grow, and it's disrupting those beliefs that have been around with you for all of time.
What would you recommend to the listener who might be wondering, well, am I getting in my own way somehow, to start questioning their own beliefs or to start becoming conscious of how?
I would say there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is most industries have peer groups. And a lot of us are have a belief that competition, the comp competition is the enemy. You don't have to think that way. I think there's a lot of business out there. There's enough for everybody. And just sitting with your peer groups in the same, industry that you're in is a step in the right direction to see, are we doing everything in the ways that we should be doing it? Is there a better way? Reinventing the wheel is tough. And why do that if there's avenues to prevent that? You just want to improve the wheel. I'd say another one is there are several great books out there to read, to help with these things. And I think, one that's come up recently is Atomic Habits. I don't remember the author at the moment, but it's great at telling you, the very small changes. So just be open to making small changes in your life to improve results in the end. And, don't be afraid of making those changes. And I think that that will start to open their eyes to how things could be done differently. And instead of just becoming stagnant and thinking, oh, this is it, this is the only way, things are constantly changing. And, we should continue to innovate and change in our roles as leaders, to provide, better services to our customers, to our employees. And so I would just start with those things, start reading some good books and get with a peer group. And then having a coach, I have a coach myself. We had an EOS coach take my company 3i International through the EOS process. It was eye-opening. It challenged a lot of my core beliefs about business and really helped me grow and get better at my craft.
Fantastic. That's how we usually wind these interviews up with two kinds of questions, and you just answered the first type is what would you recommend the listener do? And the top three things. And I got peer groups. See if you can immediately see some blind spots by calibrating against that. And reading the right books. Get to question your thinking a little bit, question standard thinking a little bit, perhaps. And yeah, the coaching is the greatest leverage. I'm a huge believer in it.
It's a game changer because we start to get comfortable in our own mind with how things are. And in order to grow, just like in the gym, in order to grow your muscles, you lift weights in order to fail. And so I think, with coaching, you take failures to your coach, you take successes too, and you can all celebrate, but you take those moments like, gosh, coach, I can't get through this. I don't know what to do. And it's through those failures that you learn the most. And with a coach there to help you see that and to help you develop the tools in order to get past that and grow is just priceless.
Right. And in a sense, there's really no failures. There's just feedback.
Yes.
And growth is never a linear line. It's got jagged edges. And it's those jagged edges where it goes down for a bit that we're actually learning what we need to get it
That's
to the
right.
next stage. So this has been a pleasure. And I think it's been extremely helpful. I think in helping anyone who's got a complex business problem, don't we all, to address. To go through a thinking process of analyzing it without letting emotion or a negative story get in the way, and probably clearing out a lot of clutter of wasted effort as a result of that. So, if someone's listening to this thinking, hey, I really like what this guy's saying, I know he does executive coaching, how would they get a hold of you?
I have a website. It's chd the number 2.com. And if you go there, there's a link to learn more. And I have a 90-minute meeting that I set up with people. No obligation, no contract, no charge, just to see where they're at and to help them and figure out the best path forward for them.
Fantastic. Well, and to the listener, I'm going to link to this in the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. So if you are listening on an app, that will be linked to in the episode description. This has been great, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Thought Leadership Studio. I hope you found today's episode, this conversation with Chris H. Davenport II, as inspiring and insightful as I did. From exploring systems thinking to uncovering root causes and using tools like the Socratic method and cognitive behavioral techniques, we've covered transformative strategies for solving challenges with clarity and precision. Most importantly, we discussed how addressing self-limiting beliefs and guiding teams towards their own solutions can create sustainable success. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's topics, visit the episode page at thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description if you're listening on an app. You'll find curated transcripts, links to the resources Chris shared, his LinkedIn page, his website, and actionable insights from this conversation. While you're there, don't forget to explore additional resources to elevate your influence and impact. Download the free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, or schedule a free consultation with me to discover how the thought process of strategic thought leadership can help you lead with greater clarity and purpose and elevate and empower all the marketing and communication you do. And finally, if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to share it with someone who could benefit from the insights shared today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to help us bring more of this kind of content to listeners like you. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time on Thought Leadership Studio.
Thought Leadership Studio.